This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning two tickets to see the Caps take on the Montreal Canadiens. Halloween, October 31st, Capital One Arena. Tickets and the complete schedule are available right now at thefandc.com/contest. We'll be giving a pair of tickets to that game away right here on The Fan, exclusively on GND, at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz all week long. Danny, you sleep on Chris Russell and myself.
Oh.
Kicking it old school yesterday. Little fellowship driving up to Baltimore together.
How about that? You carpooled.
Thought about doing an Instagram live of Rini just yelling at every driver ever who drove.
I mean, they have the audacity to be on the road.
He takes everything done on the road personally. It's unbelievable. And there's the occasional jackrabbit who flies at 85 past you or cuts you off or whatever.
Sure.
But everything anybody does is an affront. At one point, a guy who was 50 yards in front of us in the left lane changes over to the middle lane. And Russell goes, "See, this is what I hate. This is what I hate." And I was like, "Whoa, what's the matter?
What's what?
And he goes, that car, he just moved over. He didn't have to do that." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with him doing that?" And he's like, "Everyone's going to check up now. We've all got to tap our brakes." No, we don't. We'll just go. But Rini got me there safely.
Yes.
Very, very kind. And he just returned to me my phone charger that I left in the press box.
Wait, you left a phone charger behind?
I know.
Grant Paulson did?
Hard to believe.
What?
But the brand new press box in a much worse location, as they all are in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
They moved us from, you know, right at the 50-yard line down into the corner, but they still have a great spread, good food. They treat you like royalty. Got to shout out the Ravens who do a good job.
Love it.
But I left my press box, Paulson phone charger, and Russell brought it back to me.
Look at that guy.
So
saving the day. Saving the day.
It's my MVP. I'll give him a game ball for his efforts. The DMV's football team has a bright future. It's time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show will help. That's our buddies, the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Get yourself a consultation with their estate planning attorneys now at kmlawyers.com. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for the Beltway Blitz. The Caps are unfortunately 0-1, but now their openers behind them, their 50th celebrations mostly behind them, and they can just get down to hockey. Billy Johnson covers the Caps for the Washington Post. Billy, for people that may have missed Saturday night's opener, what did they miss? What'd you think?
Yeah, it was kind of an odd one, which is usually to be expected in an opening game, especially with New Jersey playing their fourth game. You could certainly tell that one team had a few opportunities to work out the kinks and get those first game jitters out of the way, and the other team hadn't. You could tell that the Capitals are better able to hang with the skating of a team like New Jersey now than they could a year ago. There were still moments where the speed was a little too much to handle. It kind of got away from them in the second period. But overall, there were positive signs that this is a faster, more skilled team than it was last year. And the where it went wrong was just sort of some glaring defensive mistakes that ended up in the back of their own net, which isn't what you want to see, but also are all very fixable and very obvious things to clean up.
Yeah, Bailey, let me know my question. I mean, last year, really, it's been a little bit for this Caps org where I just feel like they're just slower, whether that's straight ahead sprint speed or short area quickness or whatever. It's felt like it's laboring them for them to do what other teams do to them all the time. And it didn't feel that way all Saturday, but it certainly did sometime. I know Jersey's fast, but I'd like to be fast too. How close is that gap now between them and some of the teams that can really skate?
It's certainly closer. It's still probably not quite close enough. I think this transformation of the roster is going to be an ongoing process. Obviously, they made a ton of moves in the offseason. There's 7 new players on the team, all of whom were in the lineup with Logan Thompson backing up on Saturday. So they've turned over quite a bit of the team with an eye on getting younger and getting faster, and they have in a lot of areas, but it's one of those things that's going to be a little bit of a process.
I know it's hockey, so like if somebody got their leg chopped off and or
lower body
bitten by a bug, it's just the same basically announcement from the team, which in a gambling era is outrageous still. But what do we know about Matt Roy's injury?
Not a whole lot. He left the game early in the second period and didn't return. The team is calling him day-to-day. Spencer Carberry said today he's likely to miss a decent amount of time. He didn't really elaborate on that further. That could mean a week. That could mean two weeks. That could mean really anything. He didn't skate today, so certainly won't play tomorrow. Dylan McElrath took that spot next to Martin Fairbairn on that second defensive pair. So definitely won't play tomorrow. I would guess it'll be a little bit for Matt Roy, but nobody seems too concerned since they're calling him day-to-day and not something worse like week-to-week.
Bailey, how did some of the new faces thinking, you know, Dubois, Chychrun, Mangiapane, how did some of the new guys fit in and how did they look?
I thought Dubois looked really good Saturday night. One of the knocks against him has been that he doesn't always play with the most physical intensity. He can kind of come in and out on being engaged. Thought he was super engaged on every shift, was using his body, making plays, holding onto the puck. His line seemed to click really well and find a lot of traction, which was a really encouraging early sign. Chychrun playing with John Carlson is super fun. You really can't take your eyes off them when they're on the ice, because if they're not scoring a goal, they might be giving one up. It's a little bit of a high-risk, high-reward situation, but so far for the Capitals, it's working because the two of them generate more offense than what goes the other way. They're sort of the best defense is a good offense type of defensive pairing where they're just going to have the puck the whole time and it doesn't really matter what else happens. So he's been fun to watch. He's so unbelievably skilled with the puck for a defenseman and a really strong skater. The fourth line with Brandon Duhaime and Taylor Radish taking on new spots next to Nick Dowd has clicked well. We'll get our first look at Logan Thompson tomorrow night as he plays against his old team, the Vegas Golden Knights, in net for the first time. So a lot of interesting faces and a lot of interesting stuff going on for them right now.
Bailey, we are so excited to have you back on the show here regularly throughout the hockey season and to be reading all your content before and after games. Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Great to be back. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bailey.
Check out Bailey's work in the Washington Post on the Caps. Let's keep the Blitz moving. Mike Jones of The Athletic joins us on Grant and Danny. Mike, where to begin? Let's start here in Washington with the Commanders and the Ravens. What did you think of the game Sunday?
You know, I know it was a loss, but I don't think this really exists, but it was kind of like a quality loss. That was a better team that they went up against. They're supposed to lose to that team, really. But I felt like they went toe-to-toe with them, especially offensively. Obviously, there's stuff to work on defense, but, you know, they were still competitive. In the past, they would have gotten blown out by that team. It wouldn't have been close. We wouldn't have seen the positives that we saw. So I felt like, you know, you can come away from that feeling pretty good about the future of this team.
I'm just going to say the name of the team, and I want your reaction. The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
I don't know, man. It's panic time for sure. You know, I thought we would get to the end of the season. Like, yeah, it's time to move on from Mike McCarthy. But, like, it's time now. I know Jerry Jones said he's not going to do that, but this team, it looks like the game has passed. Mike Zimmerbye is the defensive coordinator. Looks like there's no creativity offensively, no counterpunch from Mike McCarthy. This team is too talented. Yes, they have injuries, but they're too talented to get blown out like that. Just a bad situation, a poorly coached team.
When do we get to say that the Eagles aren't good?
Well, you know, when we see them, I guess, get blown out against a quality team like the Cowboys yesterday, look, they're getting their guys back healthy, so there's still time for them for the season. But I don't know. I've got serious questions about Nick Sirianni, and I don't know that this team is ever going to play up to their potential. Yes, it'll be better. It was a little shaky, touch and go there at times yesterday, but they were pulled out the win. You know, we'll see what they're like at the, you know, in a couple weeks once they run into some quality teams, and we'll find out if, okay, yeah, nope, it's just not getting any better. It wasn't just the injuries. It's time for them to find a new guy as the head coach.
Speaking of trying to find a new guy, I can't believe Jacksonville's this bad. Two straight, and last year they were a disappointment, Mike, because they only won 9 games. They were like Houston before it was cool, where they jumped up from a joke of a franchise with Urban Meyer, you know, kicking people in the junk and whatever else was going on, to win 9 games with Doug Peterson. They won 9 games last year, which was viewed as a disappointment. They are a tire fire at this point.
Yeah, it's really bad. I thought, and I was texting people this morning about them, and everybody I talked to is kind of like, man, I don't know what to tell you. Like, everybody around the NFL is very, and some people who worked with Doug Peterson, very surprised that this team is as bad as it is, that they're playing as poorly as they are. You know, I talked to one guy who said, look, it's a lot of turnovers, but they have had a chance, except for the Buffalo game, to win a lot of the games they're in. But for the most part, everybody I talked to is like, look, yeah, he won a Super Bowl, but sometimes you get hot at the right time. Sometimes, you know, there's an anomaly. And this kind of vindicates Howie Roseman, shows why he moved on from him as quickly as he did.
I feel like yesterday was pretty encouraging day for rookie quarterbacks. Bo Nix, maybe notwithstanding. He did okay in the second half, but it was an ugly first half. But we talked about Jaden Daniels, how much he's played. Caleb Williams threw 4 touchdowns. And then Drake May, in a bad situation, did some really good things with New England. Like, what do you make of this rookie class so far?
Well, I mean, I think that we're seeing, you know, we need to see more about Drake May before I can really draw anything out of that. You know, it was a tough situation he was put in against Houston, but he, you know, he did well against a very tough defense, had some rookie spots, yeah. As far as Chicago goes, you can tell that Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, is starting to get it on how to position his guy for success. They put way too much on Caleb Williams early out of the gates, but now they're leaning into the runs, ease pressure off of him, and he's steadily ascending. You know, and so, yeah, I think that it looks like the future is bright for this class. We'll see where it goes. Bo Nix, yeah, he's looked good at times. He had that rough, you know, first half and part of the third quarter. He only had 27 passing yards, but that's going to happen with the rookie quarterback. He'll be up and down. But for the most part, yeah, I think that this is a savvy group of rookies. There'll be growing pains, but they are processing things pretty quickly and showing growth.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
All right, have a good one.
We'll see you, my friend. Hit that Local 53 sounder. Our dude Mitch Tischler will talk about that Washington football group of 53. Mitch, how are we supposed to feel after losing yesterday? Grant and I both actually kind of feel encouraged and maybe even better considering what happened to the rest of the division. How should we be feeling?
Well, we just watched Francisco Lindor hit a home run in the first inning here of the But
congrats on your first run. So fun.
Should we talk about last night's game or should we only talk about this, Mitch?
Was there even a game last night? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Anyways, I think Commanders fans should feel can feel any range of equal to the way they felt leading into the Ravens game or better after watching that team perform. Me personally, I feel better about this organization and this team. I love the way that Jaden Daniels kind of went, you know, him versus the world there. He had very little help in the run game. The O-line didn't have a great game. Obviously, the defense struggled. And yet there they were within, you know, 1 or 2 scores for essentially the entire game. And it was impressive to watch Jaden, you know, try and lead this comeback because he didn't go out there and try and get 2 touchdowns with 1 throw like you see quarterbacks do all the time, you know, try and make up the difference. He stayed composed. He stayed calm. He moved the ball down the field, and they ultimately, you know, were able to put up points. It wasn't the smoothest game in the world for them, but they proved that they could stay in the game with a legit Super Bowl contender. And to me, that's a big step up for this organization.
Buy or sell my take on John Allen's injury. First of all, I'm bummed for him. I mean, that goes without saying. And for the organization, it's a gigantic loss. But I do think they are better prepared to make it maybe less of a deal-breaking death sentence than in the past with the Newton pick. They kept Phi Mathis around. They obviously have a guy on the practice squad who's made, you know, played in 70-plus games in Sheldon Day. I'm not saying it's not a big loss. He's a good player. But I do feel like they were already bad defensively. Like, this is going to be not ideal rather than, oh, my God, the sky is falling.
Yeah, it's not the sky is falling because the defense hasn't been good anyway, and particularly the run defense up the middle hasn't been good. But let's be honest. I mean, John Allen is a superior athlete and player, and he's a better individual player than any of the rest of the guys that they're going to bring in to replace him. But they do have a little more depth now. And I think that's something that, you know, you saw Adam Peters and Dan Quinn want to address in the offseason was the depth across the board so that an injury like this wouldn't, you know, submarine an entire season. But ultimately, you know, I think it's a huge opportunity for Johnny Newton to step up and, you know, show that he is the second round player that he is. Kadarian Mathis, also another second rounder that, you know, you want to see more from. And I brought this up, I think, to you maybe yesterday in the press box, Grant, when we were watching the game. But Kadarian Mathis, I think, does a little bit better job in the run game in terms of occupying blocks as opposed to trying to make the play himself. So maybe if Fedarian's in there a little bit more on some of the early downs, you'll see Frankie Luvu and Bobby Wagner and the linebackers, maybe the safeties as they step up, have to deal with some fewer offensive linemen making it to the second level because Big Phil can do that.
So I didn't hear you mention that because you were so far away. So it was hard to hear everything that was going on. Danny,
I heard everything that came out of your mouth.
I mean, we both caught some of the things that came out of our mouths on each other, probably. Like, Mitch Listen. And I were, our shoulders touched for 3.5 hours.
Oh.
And on the other side of me is Chris Russell, who was his shoulder.
It's just a lot of dudes sandwiched right in there.
It was just, the O-line was stacked in. And we had to tell each other, like, all right, I'm going to get up. Because otherwise, you it's like trying to pry a sardine out of a can. Like, you got to.
Yeah. It's like when the picture's crowded, everyone has to turn sideways, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was a show.
I don't know that turning sideways would have really done a lot of help, but for all the complaints about FedEx or Northwest Field and getting in and out of that stadium and some of the faults there, the Ravens changing their press box, to me, is a huge mistake. They had an awesome press box and turned it into a mediocre one. For us,
but in fairness, though, you're speaking as a media guy, and I agree with you, but how much money are they making on whatever suites they built where we used to sit, which is why they're doing it?
Absolutely. I don't blame them for doing it, but I'm going to complain about it. But the bigger complaint for me was the getting in and out of the stadium, the parking lots. We ended up parking at the casino. It took 90 minutes from getting off of 95 to getting to the casino parking lot, which is absolutely unconscionable considering it's, what, 6/10 of a mile, 8/10 of a mile?
No, that's actually such a good point too, Mitch, because you don't really hear, now I'm not, you know, on the Ravens beat, but I guarantee there's less complaining. You hear so much about how great the atmosphere, the environment is, the stadium is, and it is all of those things largely. By the way, I cannot wrap my head around the fact, Danny, that stadium in Baltimore, which is pretty fantastic still, was built while they were building the old Jack Kent Cook Stadium nonsense, Northwest FedEx, whatever the heck it's called now.
Yeah.
They were being built at the same time. But to your point, Mitch, we complain about everything about this stadium because it's not fun to go to it because the team is terrible. That was a way worse traffic in and out situation, in my opinion, what I experienced, than what I experienced at home games.
Absolutely, and I think it goes to show you the winning football team covers up flaws all throughout, you know, the organization and location and all those different things. And I point to that when folks still come at me about all of the things that they like to complain about when it comes to the Washington organization.
Mitch, quick one. I posited this earlier today, and I've said it a couple times, and I want to see if you think I'm full of it. I feel like the last 2 weeks, now granted, Cleveland's defense is pretty good. I think Baltimore's is going to continue to get better, especially against the run. But I think that there's been a degree of figuring out Washington's designed quarterback runs. Right, those haven't been there really the last couple weeks, and it's forced Washington to do other stuff, which they have. They've done pretty well, I think, on offense. I don't think anyone's complaining. But it's something I noticed where almost like that valve has been shut off against them. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's certainly something that teams have decided that they want to shut Jaden down on, and they want to make him prove that they can beat him with his arm. I thought he had a pretty good game yesterday. He had the one failed throw to Noah Brown that probably should have been picked, but obviously wasn't. Listen, I mean, as it comes to rookie quarterback, teams tend to catch up to them. Cliff Kingsbury has a history of teams catching up to him. I appreciate, you know, some of the misdirection and a lot of the fun design plays that Cliff has thrown out there, but he's going to have to continue to evolve the base offense to, you know, counter the changes that the defenses are coming to show him. To me, I think this game against the Panthers coming up is such a, as much as leading into the Ravens game, it felt like a little bit of a measuring stick game. I think the Panthers game is an equal measuring stick game, because Burgundy and Gold teams of old would have, you know, had a disappointing loss against a team, come back home and manured the bed and lost that game. And I just don't think that Dan Quinn and this front office and this coaching staff are going to have these guys in a position where they're not ready to play on Sunday. But playing a bad team after a game like Baltimore is almost as much a measuring stick for me to see how well these guys are prepared and how much they're ready to put their foot on the throat of the Panthers, because by no means should this game be close on Sunday.
That's well said. And I know what you guys are all thinking. Mitch is not a good guy. He's a Mets fan. He is a good guy. He's just confused. And that's why we'll let him go by saying go Dodgers. Thank you, Mitch.
Hey. You guys enjoyed us beating the Phillies, right?
We loved it.
Yeah. So enjoy us for that.
We will thank you for that.
Thanks, sir. But this is enough.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Like, you did that, and then thank you.
Right.
Now go home.
You've had your fun. Thank you, Mitchell. That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. The Commanders have flaws that are not being corrected in-house because they don't have the talent to do it. Should they consider making a trade for help in their secondary, fixing their defensive issues in season by trading draft picks and upgrading now rather than waiting to the offseason at the beginning of this build? Let's get into that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join M-I-D-I. Cincinnati.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Justice Hill in at running back on second and 10. Jackson's pass.
Intercepted! There's that first interception. Sane Ristil, the rookie from Michigan, has it. Look at Lamar Jackson swing him down.
Well, we had just said not a single pick on the whole year, and boom, the very next snap, they take it away.
Hot and wide. Lamar Jackson missing the mark. Andrews' ball batted off his hands, up into the air, into the waiting arms of Mikey Senristil.
By the way, it is just so uncanny. They literally had gone on about how Washington has no interceptions. There aren't any this year. There have been hundreds of pass attempts against them. And then, of course, that next play. Whatever that is, I'm not going to tell you that that's the reason why there was an interception. I'm also telling you it's unbelievable that's how it happened. That's what I got for you.
Yeah, and they had just gotten in the red zone. They were cooking offensively. Mm-hmm. Washington gets a big takeaway. They need a bunch more of those if they're going to turn it around defensively. Show notes, programming note for you guys. So we do have Jay Gruden coming up in 30 minutes. Fired up for that. We'll talk to him about Jaden Daniels' performance. He's watched the film for us. What did he think about Cliff Kingsbury's call of the game? Also want to dive in on the rest of the NFL with Jay coming up at 5 o'clock, so make sure you're listening. Tomorrow, we got a hell of a show planned. Trey Wingo of ESPN fame, great NFL insider. He hosted NFL Live for many, 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 many years. He'll be on the show at 3. And Austin Eckler's weekly Tuesday appointment, he'll be with us at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So you'll want to hear from both of those guys. But I don't know if you guys have heard the commercial that dropped on The Fan today. We got ourselves a little show field trip happening on Friday that is going to kick off a series that we'll be doing.
A series?
A series of field trips on Friday.
Let's go.
To get out and about, the old Grant and Danny Friday field trip. We're going to pick sports bars based on you guys. Tell us where you want us to go. Where do you want us to do the show on Fridays as we get ready for the first place Commanders football game? It's the old Friday field trip. I would say we'd pack a brown bag and do a lunch bit.
But we're going to delicious sports
Why
bars.
Why would we do that? When there's chicken wings and fryers where we're going, people, we wouldn't do that.
No, there's no need to. You don't have to pack a lunch because lunch will be provided.
There's cola coming out of fountains where we're going. Why would we bring a bottle of water?
No need.
Nobody's going to
do that. No need. But I'm fired up, dude. I like that.
This week, the Friday field trip debuts in Leesburg at Spanky's Shenanigans Pub. You familiar with this spot?
I have never been, but I will have been. By Friday evening.
Say that again, because now I'm confused.
Okay. See, you asked me if I'd been. The answer is no.
Yeah. So the answer is no.
If you ask me in the future, say like Friday at 6:31,
okay,
the answer will be yes. Hmm. I will have been there. That's a future conditional.
That's real interesting. Spanky's Shenanigans Pub. We will be there from 2 to 6:30 on Friday. If you're out near Leesburg, we are coming your way. More importantly, if you want us to come to you, in our little field trip series on a Friday, Hit us up at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Tell us where you think would be fun in your area for us to broadcast, and you'll be put on the list, and we will start doing our due diligence.
Yeah. Adults will talk. I mean, not us. We'll just pass it to like other people that do stuff.
Grown-ups will have to do.
Yeah, real adults will be involved.
Grown-up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, am I alone, or are you going to walk with me in this argument? I would not aggressively try to fix their problems defensively at this trade deadline. If the perfect opportunity presents itself where I can get a long-term answer as a corner one, let's say, and the value's right for whatever reason, I'm not actively avoiding making trades.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is this feeling that people want Adam Peters, Lance Newmark in this front office to get aggressive now because they're going to potentially win the division. They can make the playoffs rather than waiting until the offseason. And while I do think we need to change our eye line and no longer view this as just a year to find out if Jaden Daniels is good and the answer, because we now know he's good and probably the answer, there's a lot of football left. The eye line should now be making the playoffs, winning a division. But I'm not going to necessarily shrink the talent pool I'm choosing from to have to go find my corner right now. I'd rather sign one of a dozen corners I like in the offseason because the flooded talent pool means I pay a little bit less of a premium. I'd rather consider having the option of drafting a cornerback one at number 23 overall or whatever it might be. But where are you at on this? And we'll open up the phones at 800-636-1067. The trade deadline's a couple of weeks away. The thought was they were going to be sellers and they're going to be bad. They're actually good, and maybe they could be buyers. Do you think they should be looking to fix one of these fatal flaws? Or should they just par the course, play with what they've got, evaluate for the rest of this year while winning as many games as you can, and then hit it hard this offseason?
I'm patient, Peter. So I echo a lot of what you said. To me, the sweet spot is I want that deal where it's announced on NFL Network or whatever channel you happen to be watching. And then when I'm just at home on my couch in another market, I'll go, that's all it took for that guy? You do that, I'm fine with it. Do you know what, you follow what I'm saying? Like, I'm not giving up a premium pick. There's too much momentum, too much good, too much that can be improved. I understand that seasons are precious and you never know when you'll be this good again. But here's my view. One new corner or a really good pass rusher still doesn't make this a championship caliber team. That's kind of my cold water on it.
It makes them better, though.
Yeah, but to what end is what I'm saying. Like, I understand you want all this, all the good experiences and the like, but I'm not going to sacrifice a little bit here. Like, when the Nationals are in the middle of their window, like, call it 2015, 2016, and you go, man, they're a bullpen arm away. You go get the bullpen arm. You don't give a damn about minor league Marty, about double A Dave that hasn't done it yet in the show. Of course you do. You got a championship window open, dude. I don't know that they do yet. And I think that's the part that a lot of fans don't really want to accept and sort of damn the torpedoes. We'll do it next year. To me, there's too much opportunity with more than $100 million in cap space heading into this offseason, full allotment of draft picks, and a lot of maneuverability with a pretty good base that we now know includes Jaden Daniels, who's a superstar on the rise. I'm just not going to sacrifice much. That said, if you can get one of those, this guy here is, I'm just making up a name, this guy here is disgruntled, and Steve, the cornerback in Jacksonville, they're just willing to part ways because he's got a big salary, and he's in his mid to late 20s, you can get him for a fourth-round pick. I'll do that, but I'm not going hard. I'm not giving up a first or a second.
I might even consider a good corner who's a rental that's supposed to be a free agent and throw in a late-round pick at a guy because you bring him in, he upgrades you the rest of this season. Maybe he helps your young guys out. Maybe he makes Benjamin St. Juste better. He makes Emmanuel Forbes better. And then even by being in the building, if it is as good as we think it is, culturally, if Quinn is the player coach that we all know he is, they might be more inclined to want to come here. You might get a little bit of a discount if somebody spends the second half of the season here, you're trending up, you make the playoffs, you play in a playoff game or two, maybe you get them to come back, and maybe you could flip a six or something like that for some starting corner. I wonder, though, and this is the evaluation I'd need from Peters or Newmark, one of the smart guys over there in the front office, but do you think you're doing any kind of long-term damage or like a disservice and development to anybody that you're asking to play out of position or to be above their skis? Like right now, Benjamin St. Juste is playing as your corner one and was in man yesterday against a speed merchant, not his game, trying to follow him all over the field. I didn't think he played nearly as bad a game as everyone else does. But you've got your fan base memeing him and making jokes about him online, and he's getting crushed. I'm assuming that kind of stuff doesn't really add up or catch up to him. But are you stunting his growth or development by basically going, hey, you should be playing the bigger physical, like 18-wheeler wide receiver types, not this guy. We don't have a choice. You've got to cover that guy. How about Mikey Sanders still? If you had a better corner in a good situation, he would be inside in the nickel. That's what you drafted him to do. That's what he did at Michigan. That's what he wants to do. He's starting outside, playing outside right now, out of position, where he's his second best position, basically. you know, being baptized in the NFL as he's, you know, learning that spot, basically. Wouldn't you be better off for when he's your nickel next year if he was just getting through some of those lessons?
Getting those reps there,
getting beaten and getting better and better at nickel. It's like those are the things I would have to consider. Is it's not just about getting better or winning one or two extra games. It is about the long-term growth of the guys that matter and what positions them best.
Too. I think that's fair, but then my response is, okay, what's that worth to you? Like, at what cost?
A late-round pick.
Yeah, it's not worth a one. It ain't worth a two. It's probably not worth a three. And if you're, you know, we could talk about a four maybe.
So I'm not trading anything above a six on a rental for anybody. I would consider a mid-round pick for an excellent corner that's coming in here. That's the long-term solution where I'm taking on a big contract in the years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just view that as the free agent I was going to sign this year anyway.
Precisely. And it just cost, and that draft pick cost me exclusivity, right? So that they couldn't go anywhere else. I've got them under contract if it's someone I would sign in the open market anyhow.
I don't really have a problem either way, honestly, because I believe you got to be aggressive. The best gift you have is a quarterback on a rookie contract. So waiting around is not smart. Now, if you're telling me you're waiting till the offseason in year two, no problem, because you still have years two through five for Jaden Daniels to win before he gets paid, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. But I mean, next offseason is go time. This whole, like, let's be patient, let's not spend big, let's just kick the can down the road. Uh-uh. You go get your corner, you go get your edge rusher, whatever it is that you think you need really badly, you go get. And I think they will do that this offseason. But I could be talked into making a trade to upgrade right now. I think my preference would be to sit back and let the kids play. This is about our offense being dynamic and this young quarterback I drafted, making sure he's good. Everything else is gravy, and I'm going to play as many of the young guys on defense to evaluate them as possible. And we'll get Joe Witt and Dan Quinn to coach their butts off.
Yeah, I'm down with that plan. Again, I will not sacrifice my future in any way for a slightly larger short-term present. I mean, your point, though, about development makes a lot of sense. It's just, again, not worth that much to me to have that. I mean, to me, you got to know the player, right? If I know it's so cliche, but they talked about having guys that represent the team name. We're looking for this sort of dude. That sort of dude to me isn't going to get his head down because, you know, he's playing out of position or it's a little bit more challenging for him. But what's best for Sam Russell's development is probably to play the position he's going to play.
Their flaws got maybe not exposed, but accentuated again yesterday. We know where they're not good enough to hang with the big dogs. Should they be looking to address those areas, or should they just continue to play this season out and build and develop with the young guys as best they can and then get aggressive this offseason? Where are you at on this? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Dan, in a game where Derrick Henry's obviously stopped slowing him down is a focus, was this a game where, I don't know if you needed more from your corners, but kind of exposed them a little bit more because you had more focus up on the run?
Yeah, I think you have to. You know, like, this is a team that was leading the NFL in running, so going in, you have to do that. I thought earlier in the game, we played the run better. You know, as the game wore down, I thought we wore down some, and including into the 4 minute at the end to go get a stop. So in the first half, I think they ended up with maybe 51 somewhere in that space, which I would have said would probably be somewhere you would have thought. And then at the second half, just like I said, too many shots at it.
Dan Quinn on his Commanders, who fell by 7 points, 30-23 to the Ravens. They did trail by 14 at one point, 27-13 before a Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin 6-yard touchdown early in the fourth quarter. One other thing I'd like to say that I really like about Daniels is that it seems like, and it hasn't happened a lot in the last month, but whenever their backs are against the wall, you're on the road and you go down 7-0 against Cincinnati or Arizona, or just, you know, you've now fallen behind by 14. The other team just did something. You got to go answer. Seems like he always answers the bell.
Doesn't it? I mean, I love that. Because again, there's going to be a time it doesn't happen, and there'll be a time that, you know, double adversity happens or something worse. It's football. I mean, it's pro sports. Things go bad. But I'm with you. It does feel like every time they get punched, every time it's a, uh-oh, what are we going to do? The response is always as good or better, you know? And I wish there was a way to quantify that sort of stuff. You know, like I'm sure there's a stat for it somewhere that it's the scoring response percentage or over adjusted or some kind of thing. But it does feel the way, right? Like every time they go down, there's always a response drive and he's always doing something special.
800-636-1067 is the number to answer the question we're asking you now. Should the Commanders be aggressive in trying to fix their flaws at the trade deadline? Should they make a trade or two to add pieces that could help them on defense? Or would you, as I call it, part of the course, just continue to play and develop, see where this year goes, stick to your plan, and then get after it aggressively in the offseason, which is where I would be. Let's go to Ian in Vienna. What's up, buddy?
Grant, you and I disagree vehemently on the Nats rebuilding plan, but on this one, I side more with you. I look at the Houston Texans as a perfect model for what this franchise should do. Garbage organization, drafts a quarterback at number two, everything changes. The horizon is so bright. Every mediocre player is somehow now a great player, etc. I think this offseason, they should be hyper-aggressive, like you said, with the rookie contract, adding receivers, adding Pro Bowl caliber players on offense, defense, everywhere. There's no reason, I feel, to kind of mortgage the future for some short-term gain this year, because I think even with picking up better defensive players or maybe a receiver here or there, the ceiling isn't as great as it could be in year two, three, and four of Jaden Daniels' kind of rookie contract, which is the window you're trying to maximize.
Exactly.
So my advice would be sit tight at the trade deadline, be hyper-aggressive in the offseason, and go at it that way.
Yeah, the quicker you add that talent, the faster you can go through whatever gelling process there is, figuring out what you are, getting everyone to come together. But the whole point is you are trying to do it. The clock starts the moment you draft a quarterback. You essentially have five seasons. If the guy's really good, and it looks like Jaden Daniels is, by the time he's getting paid, it's going to be, and the cap will be a lot bigger, but he could be making, you know, $70 to $75 million a year.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you can't spend on anything else, and you got to be Superman every week. So the whole point is you got five seasons. After this one, four seasons to try to win before it gets way harder. We basically have one quarterback ever in Mahomes who's won, making a big number, and even by today's standards, because of his contract structure, he doesn't make what a lot of guys make in terms of, you know, the percentage of the cap.
Talking about Ian's point, though, about the window, Houston really is the perfect example. I kept saying it's irresponsible to expect them to be Houston with the silver bullet or the lightning strike of quarterback. Well, sorry, they are. This is it. It's the same thing Houston did. A joke of an organization, no longer a joke, just sort of, you know, kept punching and saw what happened. They were under 500 for a while and, you know, won their win and get in game and then ended up winning a playoff game. Unbelievable experience for Stroud, who is a bona fide star, and this organization went from a joke, again, to now someone that's making some noise in the AFC. Washington could be the same with a similar kind of offseason, right, where you don't sacrifice futures for right now.
Phillips and Laurel. Phillip, I want to squeeze you in. We got the coach at the top of the hour, but you got 30 seconds. What's up?
Yo, be aggressive. I mean, yeah, they didn't get Stephon Gilmore because they didn't think they were one player away. Now they realize they're a lot closer than what they are. You got the young kid in Carolina, J.C. Horn. They want to get rid of him for a fourth or fifth round pick. Go get the guy. I mean, we don't have any corners. Go ahead, do it now.
So someone like J.C. Horn, who's good and young and ascending, if he's available because the team's doing a full-on sell-off or isn't fitting in the locker room or something, I would absolutely do diligence on that. Mm-hmm. I'd make calls and talk to agents and do whatever I'm legally allowed to do. And some of the stuff maybe I'm not behind the scenes too, to try to figure out, like, is this someone I want in my building that I can have at the right price? Because young ascending talent is the name of the game. Jay Gruden on Jaden Daniels' performance yesterday. The Commanders threw six games at 4-2. We can also spin around the NFL with him after what was a great Sunday of football and preview Monday Night Football with Jay. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.